Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
She's an active coach and sports parent to an elite athlete who aspires to be an Olympic athlete. We're going to talk about how to support your child's dreams.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Lila, and hi, Patrick.
Hello.
Hi, Lisa.
Lila, could you briefly tell me a little bit about your own story as an athlete? Because I think it gives us a lot of perspective on what's happening with you and your son right now.
Well, I was an elite runner back in the day when I was in the eighth grade, had aspirations to be an Olympic champion, was compared to Mary Decker at the time, and had thought that maybe I would make it into the 80 Olympics as a very young youth. And when I entered high school, I got a coach that knew a little bit about our family background, and my first race I ran as a varsity, took third to two seniors, and after that race, this coach walked up to me and told me that if I couldn't run first every time I ran, that he didn't want me on the team. So I abruptly quit and never ran again after that, and he definitely affected my confidence.
Wow, that's just such an amazing story. And you were just telling me that you regret having made that decision.
I totally regret making that decision. I didn't have a support system at the time to encourage me or to say, you need to go back there. But after that, I just didn't want to run for him. I felt that I wasn't good enough. Therefore, I threw it all away. And I did. I threw my dream away.
Wow. Well, now let's talk a little bit about your son.
Okay.
Right now, he's the number one ranked freshman in the nation in javelin and decathlon.
That is correct.
And he aspires to be an Olympic athlete. Now, how long has he hoped to be an Olympic athlete? Has this been since he was six or eight?
It's kind of comical because when he was younger, he's also an elite soccer player, and his aspirations were to be a professional soccer player until he hit eighth grade. And when he hit the eighth grade, we were introduced to track and field, and he was invited to do a decathlon at our high school as an eighth grader, and he beat all of the high school kids in our area.
Have you ever done it before?
And had never done it before. The only thing he had ever done was run. He hadn't high jumped or pole vaulted or thrown the javelin. And he took fifth in that meet overall with the high school kids. So we decided to put him into some summer track and field meets. And we discovered that he could throw the javelin and that he did very well in the decathlon, went to the Junior Olympic National Meet in both events, took second in the javelin. PR'd or personal best for the javelin that year was 182.5, which was totally shocking that he had only been throwing the javelin for about 5 weeks when he did that.
Wow.
And so he found a love, and we didn't know that he had it. It just kind of sprung up on us. We knew he was an elite athlete in many of the sports, but as far as track and field goes, we didn't know that until that event happened.
Wow. Now, the part of the issue that you're having right now is that you live in a real small town in Oregon, correct, and you don't have a lot of choices in coaching.
That is correct. We live in a small town. Unfortunately, we live in a football town, which is good for some people, but when you play off sport, we don't have the support, the financial support and or support that you want, you know, or your athlete wants to participate in the sports that aren't popular, track and field being one of them, soccer being another one of them.
Well, now, and you found that the issue you're struggling with right now is that some of the coaches don't support your son's long-term goals.
They don't support his long-term goals. They think that we need to let him focus on being a teenager and just participate in sports at the high school level and just have fun. He decided not to play basketball this past year, and he's an extremely good basketball player because he wanted to train for the summer programs and his track success, because he does have aspirations to go to the Olympics. He's shooting for the 2012, which is about his sophomore year in college, is what he's hoping for. And he is trimming the fat, so to speak, to obtain that goal. And it's his decision. It's not anybody else's decision. It was his decision that this is the goal I have, and this is what I have to do to obtain it. And it has not gone over very well.
Now, what's interesting, it sounds like the coaches there have an agenda for him. It sounds like they'd prefer to see him playing football and basketball.
Football and basketball. When he was a varsity player on the soccer team, he was first team all league last year for our high school, and the football coaches came to his practice every day to ask him to be a kicker or to be the wide receiver, and he would tell them, no, I'm not going to do that, I'm playing soccer. And I finally had to go to the soccer coach and say, look, these coaches need to not come to the soccer field and talk to him. He's already told him no, and I'm asking you as his soccer coach to stop it. And so they stopped it. Well, when he decided to do a pole vault clinic in the off season and strength train, because he was younger, he didn't have the muscle development that he needed for pole vaulting, for javelin, for the discus or the shot put. When he chose to do that, that didn't go over well when he decided to set basketball out.
Well, and you're saying that also, but the coaches that he works with don't are not supporting him, and they're sabotaging him.
I believe, my personal opinion is that, yes, he was sabotaged. What happened last year was our volunteer javelin coach had a senior boy who had been told that it was his year. And then my son came along and threw a PR in the summertime as an eighth grader that was far, it passed his personal record by about 30 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we started training, we tried to get him to be able to use the weights at school, and they wouldn't let him because there was no advisor. So we paid for a sports club, yeah, I guess it is, to be able to go in and weight train. So we put him on a weight train program, and we pay for a monthly fee for that. And so when track came along, I told Dakota that he needed to let his coaches, all of his coaches, because he's also a runner, that he's already on a weight training program, and since he was a multi-eventer, that maybe when those like they split them up, so sprinters go one place, jumpers go another, and throwers go another, the distance goes another, that when those go to the weight room, that Dakota could be working on the other event. And it worked. It was a great plan. It's not how it was received, though. Dakota got pulled off about the second day of the second week of practice by the throwing coach, and was told that if he wanted to be coached by him, he could, and if not, if he didn't want to listen to him, then he could just work on his own.
Wow.
And this is a freshman that just started track and field for a high school, and he came home and he said, Mom, I'm really confused. And it did affect him a little bit. But before that even happened, this boy and his friends at the beginning of school came up to Dakota and told him that they hated him.
Aww.
And that you know, he was a freshman and he should just sit down and let the juniors and seniors have all the glory because they're the ones that earned it. And then the sprints coach grabbed on to that and started saying things. And I had to go to one of the officials at school to say, hey, enough is enough. He's a freshman, and he's an elite athlete, but he shouldn't be getting this kind of treatment.
Wow.
So I ended up going to the head track coach, and I said, look, this is what's happening, and, you know, these are the decisions that Dakota has made for himself. These are his goals. I'm going to do what I can to foster those goals, but this is uncalled for.
Wow. Well, now I want to bring Patrick in here now and see what his opinion is of all this, because, you know, we always say that kids need to have fun in sports, but your son is a little different, and he does have his goals. So, Patrick, what's your opinion here?
Well, wow, I'm just listening to all of it, Layla. It sounds like a clear case of, number one, jealousy, and number two, you got a lot of politics going on here with all the coaching. And, you know, I'm just thinking, I don't know what coach wouldn't want to teach or train a kid that wants to be a future Olympian and maybe even has the talent to be a future Olympian. So it sounds like the coaches are getting bombarded from other, maybe some of the other players or something, or some of the other athletes. And it sounds like just a case of jealousy to me.
Yeah, I really thought that there was some, and I have a feeling that it was probably because of the senior boy, but it got worse. Because Dakota did make it as a freshman to state in four events, and he did throw the javelin and as one of those events, and he just wasn't himself. He was out of sorts, and I could tell that something was the matter with him, but I didn't really know what it was. And he threw the best that he could throw that day, and he did medal. He took a fifth place in 4A state in the javelin, and then also a fourth place medal in the high hurdles as a freshman. But those coaches, the two javelin coaches, talked about Dakota in front of other people, saying that he was not coachable. And it devastated my son. He was very upset that, you know, I'm a freshman. I made it to state in four events. I scored lots of points for our team, and my coaches won't even give me an attaboy or good job, or that all they have to do is talk bad about me. And so that was my conclusion, that there was some jealousy issues or unresolved issues with his son, who was a senior, that got his senior year medal taken away from him. But the way it fell in our district, he wouldn't have qualified for state anyway without my son being there. But there was a jealousy issue.
Does he care a lot about what other people think about him?
My son?
Yes.
Or no, you know, gosh, that's a good question. No, except for, I guess, as a coach, he would care. He just wants to go out there and do what he loves to do. This is fun for him. He loves it. He loves the competition. It's a day in the park for him. It's not like he's so focused that he doesn't think about anything else. He's just naturally good. And but it did affect him that his coach never congratulated him. Mm-hmm. That every time he'd walk onto the field, the coach would roll his head and look the other way. He knew what people were saying about him because we live in a small town.
Right.
And
that does tell me a little bit that he is looking for some type of an approval at some level.
Right.
I call it social approval, and there's many different types of social approval. You know, wanting to be liked, wanting to be respected, wanting that pat on the back from the coach. So at some level that tells me that he wants some respect somewhere. He's not out there in a vacuum. And that he wants to be rewarded in some way for his accomplishments, at least, you know, from the coach's perspective. So, you know, if I was working with your son, I definitely want to address that aspect of social approval and make sure that he's not so focused on what other people think and he's not so focused on getting that respect, but rather having his own self-respect.
Right. Well, and that's what I was trying to encourage him with, was, you know, not to let the coach get into his head that he throws for the coach and our team and our community, but really he's throwing for himself, and then we're spiritual, so, you know, he throws for God. That's who he throws for. That's where he should seek his approval. And it did seem to help him after the high school, and we went into the summer meets, because he started not to have that pressure. He didn't seem at ease anymore, that it wasn't fun anymore, that it was more of a job to do. And at one point he even wanted to lay it down, which was sad because he is naturally good in that area.
Well, now let's get back to how Leela can support her son's dreams in the face of all these challenges. one of the things she can do is help him with the social approval issue. Other ideas, Patrick?
Well, the social approval issue absolutely get him to have the self-respect and believe in himself and not look for that those external kudos in essence. And to be and really, you know, to kind of be self-motivated, I think. I would really want you to have a discussion with your son about, you know, that it's his dream and not letting other people kick him off the dream. In other words, a lot of sometimes very successful athletes will go through some ups and downs and have some of these, you know, external forces like what's happening with your son right now. And he needs to know that it's not going to be a kind of a straight shoot. It's not going to be a straight line or a graph to the top, and that he's going to have some bumps in the roads and ups and downs. And he's going to have people that want to really throw him off his dream, especially if you got some of the jealousy and the politics going on with all the sports. He
right.
might have some situations where people want to bounce him off the dream. And so it really comes down to how much, you know, in terms of his dedication to the dream and holding on to his own dream.
Right.
Now, there's also, he's getting the message that he's not a team player and that he should be sharing his talents with the community more than he is. Now, how do you respond to that? Do you think that's just more social pressure? Because that is one of the values that we try to teach, which is that you should be a team player. Patrick.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that a question for me?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, and Leila, too. She's a coach. I mean, I think these are hard issues.
Well, yeah, they are hard issues. Obviously, you want them to be a team. You want them to be a team player. But often, what happens when you have someone that stands out way and above the crowd, you know, some people are going to want to try and knock them off the pedestal, or knock them down, you know, to their level. And so, you know, I that's what I see the issues at. You know, being in a small town, being ranked number one in the nation, you know, stealing some of the limelight from, you know, the seniors that have been there for 3 or 4 years on the team.
And
you know, so there's just, you know, there's just a lot of politics and a lot of jealousy going on right now. And, you know, as I'm thinking about, as I'm listening to Leila talk about it, I'm thinking of the idea that, you know, if he does become successful and get to the pinnacle and get to the Olympics, he'll have gone through some real trials and tribulations that will actually help him.
Absolutely.
When he gets even to the higher level. So it's kind of like, you know, learn. I would want him to learn from what's going on right now, be able to cope effectively what's going on right now. And if he does get through it successfully and he does get to that pinnacle level, well, he'll be in a better stance or a better position to really perform at the very elite level because of some of the challenges that are going on right now. I don't know if I answered your question, Lisa, but I thought that was important to mention as well. If we spin it in a different direction and say he's going through some real challenges, and if he gets through these challenges successfully, that will make him a stronger person and a stronger athlete.
That is correct, and I am in agreement with you because that's what happened last year at the Junior Olympic National level was that he was 14-year-old competing in 15, 16-year-olds, and the 16-year-olds did not like the fact that Dakota was there scoring higher than them in the decathlon and throwing the javelin like he did. And so he wasn't prepared for that mentally last year, and it did affect him. This year, he went into it totally different because he already knew that that was going to be what he was going to face. And then the challenges that he had here, he adapted his way of thinking to, this is about me being here, competing, having fun, doing what I love to do. And if I can help some people along the way, that's great, but I'm not going to treat other people the way I was treated and still perform. And he did. He's a two-time national champion, but you would not know that knowing him. You would not know that he was a two-time national champion or number one ranked freshman in the nation.
Right. He's pretty humble.
He's very humbled. And when you were talking, Lisa, about about team player, Dakota has been put in the position for so many times, especially in the soccer field or the basketball field, is get the ball to Dakota. And Dakota hates it because he's a team player. It's all about the team, and that if I do well, then that's awesome. But don't talk about me, Mom, because you embarrass me. Right. When people ask, he's very humbled elite athlete, which is not normal for society these days. The way you watch the football players and in the media, he has not been groomed to behave that way. So it even puts him more on that firing line, so to speak.
Right.
Because he doesn't act normal.
Well,
I'm glad that he doesn't.
Yeah. Well, you know what's really sad about this is it's as if the community wants to own his talent and use it in the way they want to, and it's really his talent and it belongs to him.
It's totally that way. And, you know, the funny thing is that when Dakota came home from Nationals, our community did support him to go. They put money in the track program so that he could make the meets, not only him, but several of the elite track athletes in our community. And when Dakota got home, he wrote a thank you note, hand-delivered them, thanked the community for supporting him and that they owned part of the medals that he received. And not very many people do that,
right.
But he's totally okay. Hey, I'm sweet home. Okay, now I live here. I live in this small community. I'm going to the state Olympics, which is the Junior Olympics, and then he won that. Okay, now I have to go to the regionals, and I'm not just representing my community and my school. I'm representing the state. So I can't go rafting down the river because if I get hurt, then I'm letting my state down.
Right, so
and
he really is a team player, and he is really
so he's
a big picture.
He totally looks at the big picture. And what was amazing to me, what just happened, is he's a sophomore now. So colleges can send him questionnaires according to NCAA rules and regulations. And so we've been getting, or he has been getting, Pac-10 colleges inquiring about him. And so he asked, he says, Mom, should I fill these out? And I said, if you're interested in that school, I would fill it out. If not, no, I wouldn't. And so he did fill one out. And when you go online to fill those out, this page popped up. And it said, please read the following before you submit or fill out and submit a questionnaire. And the first thing it said is, if you are not first in your state or country, and if you have not competed outside of your high school venue on a club sport or at the national level, do not fill out this questionnaire. You will not even be considered as recruitable. And I copied that off and sent it to our track coach. And I told him that it was very important that if these kids that are elite athletes have aspirations to go to a Division I college, they have to be competing. They have to have the opportunity to compete at the national level. They need the opportunity, or if they seek out coaches that aren't in our area, of area of expertise, that they shouldn't be ridiculed for it because that's their dream. They should be encouraged. And I, as a coach, and I've been coaching for about 15 years, rec and elite athletes, and what I tell them is if I don't have the expertise, I'm going to find or encourage you to find the expertise in that field because it isn't about me. It's about them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about their dreams. And right now I'm coaching soccer to where I have a team that has girls that never played before, girls that are so okay, and then I have elite athletes on the team that will probably go to a Pac-10 school. And my encouragement to all of them is that they're all their individual. They all have strengths. They all have weaknesses. And we have to foster each person as an individual. Because some of them don't have the dream, but they want to play and they want to improve their skills, and then some have the dream to go further.
Now, I know we've run long, but I have a question for both of you. What about the kids who have that dream and it doesn't look like they're ever going to make it? What do you do with them?
Well, Lisa, from my perspective, I'm not a dream killer. I mean, if an athlete comes in and wants to work with me on the mental game, I'm going to try to get them to the highest level. I'm going to try to support their dreams, do everything I can to help them realize their goals. you know, even know. And I think a lot of it we forget about, it's about striving for the dream. It's about bettering yourself. It's about improving yourself and going after it, dedicating yourself. Doesn't always mean you're going to get there. I mean, if you think about how many young kids today, you know, want to be like Tiger Woods, what's the reality? You know, what's the reality that that's going to happen? You know, very, very tiny, tiny percentage of kids could ever play at that level. So why would you ever want to, you know, get them to discard the dream if you know that the chances are one in, you know, 50,000?
You're saying, but still don't tell them they can't make it.
No, you want to encourage them. I think you want to encourage them to go after it and to dedicate themselves and to see how far they can go. Absolutely.
I'm totally in agreement with that as a coach's perspective and a parent's perspective, because you don't know when they're going to peak in the sport that they play, or that sport might not lead to another sport where they still have a goal, and it might change a little bit. But if you tell them that they can't do it, they'll go back to where it was with me, where they feel like they can't do it and they just give up. And more than likely, they could have amounted to something there with that goal.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, Lila, we need to have you back so that you can talk about your experiences as a coach, too.
Okay.
Now, did you have any other questions for Patrick that might be helpful to you and your son before we sign off here?
Well, I think that social approval was great. I didn't look at it as that aspect. I knew that it was an approval issue, and I really appreciate that, not only for my son, but for others around me. I guess one question I could ask you is, going into another track season, and I know that this coach is going to be my son's coach, and the element isn't the same. Do I just let my son work on himself with that coach, or do I I don't know the words I want to use. Do I intervene in it, or do I just let it go and see where it goes from now?
Well, I think it in part depends upon what your son wants to do as well. You know, I think today, in the world of sports today, if he's got a lot of talent, and it sounds like he does, considering his, you know, his track record, you want to support that if you have the financial ability to do that. Maybe you find him a functional trainer or someone that's specifically geared towards working in the sports that, you know, he's involved in, that can train him as like a personal trainer. You know, maybe you find someone that can do some mental coaching. I mean, I've got some great resources on my website you can download. I've got various levels of programs at various prices as well to support his mental game. Today, in today's world, you have to take a multidimensional approach. You can't just sit back and, you know, and maybe just leave it up to a coach. I think finding maybe specialists to work with him would be a fine idea in terms of the physical training, the mental training, even nutrition. You know, that's what all the elite level athletes are doing today, is they're going to specialists and they're getting additional information to help them become the best they can be.
So how do you deal with that, though, on a high school level? So say I found an elite coach that wants to work with him on the side, not during track practice, but that's an issue with this coach. How do I foster that I give my son what he needs and yet still have him integrated into the school track program?
It should never be. I don't think it should ever be an issue with the coach, really. From my perspective, it shouldn't be an issue. If I was coaching him and he was going outside the lines and getting additional help with certain areas, I would say, boy, that's a dedicated kid. That's how I would respond. He's dedicated and he's willing to do whatever he can to better himself.
Okay.
Now, doesn't this coach have a son who competes in the same arena?
He did, and he graduated this year.
So that'll probably help.
I'm hoping that it helps. It's been a challenge, and trying to stay right about it and yet advocate for what's right for my child has really been hard, especially in a small community. I don't want to move my child away, but yet, you know, that may come to what I have to do for him to be successful and what his goal is, because it is his goal.
When he gets to college, I think, Layla, I think he'll get a lot more specialized training and instruction. I think there's a lot, you know, they take more of that approach that I'm talking about at the collegiate level. So I believe he'll be brought along at the collegiate level a lot more than he would at the high school level, especially if he goes to like a Big Ten school, for example.
Yeah, he'll get
right.
a lot more support. Now, we've run on for a long time. You, past our usual length, but this has been really fascinating. And, Leela, we do want to have you back if you have the time, because Leela coaches a number of teams, and she's got 5 kids. She's a very busy person. But thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Be sure to visit youthsportspsychology.com to get our new workbook CD program, The Ultimate Sports Parent. You can also pick up our free ebook, 10 Tips to Improve Confidence and Success in Young Athletes. That's youthsportspsychology.com.